Well, it looks like Mommy and Daddy are getting a divorce. Guess it's time to get really drunk and smear jizz on everything on this episode of the Indie Film Review.
Oh, Jared.
Oh, Jared.
Did I ever tell you that our podcast is the filet of movie podcasts?
No, you've not told me that.
Well, our podcast is most certainly the filet of movie podcasts, and all the other movie podcasts around the world are just Philistines.
They
do not hold a candle to how rich and enlightening our podcast is.
What's a Philistine?
I have no fucking idea why you called them Philistines. I just thought it was
my
really
daddy
funny.
Says me and you are Philistines.
Yes, welcome to the Indie Film Review, where once again we are going to review an independent film for you. This week's
film
is on the chopping block. It is The Squid and the Whale, directed
by Noah
Baumbach, better known as being Wes Anderson's right-hand man sometimes. He wrote The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. Fantastic Mr. Fox. He is also the director of Francis Ha. Noah Baumbach is. I think that's how you spell it.
Noah Baumbach.
Anytime I see the word Baum, I just think of E. Baum's World. You know what I mean?
Oh. Then I think of viruses going onto my computer.
Yes. Well, this is back in the day before. Well, I mean, probably not. That's probably why all my first computers were destroyed, because I just spent sight so much. The Squid and the Whale is about two children taking sides with their parents that are divorcing, and their lives become filled with half-baked plagiarism and, of course, a lot of semen. Did I mention that a Baldwin comes along the way?
When is there not a Baldwin coming along the way? What does that mean? I don't know. All the Baldwins are fine. I don't know what I'm saying. It's nonsense. I liked the Baldwin that was in this
movie.
Oh, me
too. William Baldwin is fantastic in this movie.
He was fucking good. So let's get into first impressions. I'll start first because I'm more handsome.
Please.
I think... I don't know. Why would I say that?
You got a voice wait, is it face for radio? Yeah, face for radio.
I have a face for radio. Thank you.
And now you see, you know what happened in over time? It's like broadcasting is dying, but podcasting is coming up, you know, and everybody has a podcast. So how many ugly people are there, really, if you think about it?
I'm gonna say a lot. I'm gonna guess a lot. But that's good that we have a place that we can hide, you know?
But still be heard. Podcasts. Just remember that ours is the filet of movie podcasts.
That's right. Filet mignon.
I'm going to keep hashtagging that for forever,
right.
Ever since
hashtag
I watched
filet. Hashtag fish filet. Hashtag fish dicks.
Perfect. First impressions.
What's happening? So I like this movie.
Damn. Did you?
I thought it was pretty fucking good.
I did too. I think this movie pretty much hit a lot of good parts.
Mm-hmm. I liked almost every aspect of this movie. One of the things I thought would have been a detriment, but then actually I kind of grew to enjoy it as the film went on, is the pacing.
Are you kidding me?
How quickly the scenes go.
Yeah, I was going to say, the pacing in this movie is, like, spot on. I liked how fast it went. It's unorthodox, I just feel like, with a lot of films I see. I will say, I get what you're talking about. Like, at first, I'm like, whoa, this is going really fast.
This movie's hauling ass.
But
it's like...
It works very well, and, like, I got used to it really quick.
Oh, yeah. And it kind of adds to how you're feeling about this whole divorce that's going on, which is the main crux of the movie, is basically these two kids and I guess the mother and father, how they're all dealing with a separation the divorce in the family and how that's affecting everyone in a negative way. And from what I understand, this is Baumbach. This is a very personal movie for him.
Yes, it's very autobiographical. Not everything in the film is happening to him.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you going to do? Even though it's autobiographical, you're not going to make a film that's exactly about your life.
Because it would be boring.
No, not really. Because here's the thing. If the events in this movie actually happened to him in real life, I want to know how everybody feels that he's throwing under the bus. I want to say that he was the older of the two boys.
Yes.
Okay.
So then his younger brother with the jizz.
Well, but then that brings up a lot of questions. Like, how did he know all of this? Like, did they really talk as much as they did in the film? Because in the film, they're both very close, even though they're not very close. It's like they kind of pick on each other, but they both share, like, every fucking thing with
each
other.
They're like the opposite of a different coin. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, and they work, and it's really weird. By the way, I just wanted to bring this up, that Owen Klein is playing the younger brother. Jesse Eisenberg is playing the older brother.
Yeah.
Laura Linney plays the mom, and Jeff Daniels plays the dad. And these...
Everyone does an insanely good job.
Powerhouse of a family that is breaking apart. Jeff Daniels, I have never seen him this good in a role, ever. Because normally I see him in, like, you know, Dumb and Dumber and, like, all the comedy shit he does.
But this might be, like, the best role I've ever seen him in.
It was incredible because he plays this douchebag professor that is one of the worst human beings I've ever met on screen. He plays it so well, and he normally is just this dopey dude. It's like he definitely has chops to be this deadbeat dad dude.
Yeah. And Laura Linney was so good in this movie. It made me want to see more movies. More movies with her in it.
The only other movie I saw with her in was The Truman Show.
Yeah, you're right. She was the wife.
That's the only one that I've ever seen with her in it. So, I do want to see more of her.
But she's fucking good. Is she still making movies? Let's see. Yeah, looks like she's filming something called Molly 2020. I'm sure it's just going to be her on drugs for an hour and a half. Gotcha, Laura. I don't know what I'm saying. We like to have fun here. Let me think. How did you feel about the music in this movie?
I liked everything about, you know, just the sound design. Like, everything in this film works for me. The only thing that didn't work for me was the cinematography. It was not impressive to me, but what gave it a decent score was it was shot on film on one of my favorite cameras, the Arriflex, and it was shot 16mm, and you can really tell. Like, it looks like it looks like an old film, and it looks really, really good. So because of the choice in the way they filmed it, it gave it, like, kind of a bump in cinematography, but outside of that, the cinematography, it was just nothing to sneeze at. It was very average to me. But everything else...
I would also maybe give this movie a slight break just because of how... I don't want to... It's not cheaply made, but the budget is low.
Yes. You know what I mean? Like, I forgot
about
that.
This is a low-budget independent
film. It's $1.5 million this movie was made for, which is very low compared to...
So we can't bust its balls for not having, like, dolly shots or any of this other shit.
Well, I mean, that's not what I mean, because you can get really good shots for a really low amount of money. It's just... His whole mission here was not in the cinematography. He wasn't telling a story with cinematography, and I can respect that. But because of that, I'm not going to give it a good score in cinematography. I just gave it, you know, middle of the road.
But it was serviceable, though, right?
It was serviceable, but, like, whenever I watch a film for cinematography, I'm, like, really looking for cinematography, basically.
Okay. I think that is enough, unless you have a question for me. I think we can move on to spoilers.
Yeah, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Did you get it was her cunt?
God damn it. When the dad says that to his son, they go to, like, some poetry slam or something. I don't know what it is. This girl's reading about it. Obviously about her womanhood, and then the dad is in the car with the son. He's like, "Did you get it about her cunt?" I love how pretentious they make the dad. It's hilarious.
And then, oh god. Okay, so here's the dynamic, right? You have dad is a English professor. He's a writer too.
Yeah.
and he's a novelist. And then you have the older boy who's kind of clinging to dad during the divorce because mm-hmm. he respects dad for being very smart, very, you know, philosophical, things like that. But the issue is the kid never fucking reads anything. He's just like, he just is a vacuum for what dad says to him. And he just regurgitates it. And this is just a recipe for one of the... I hate it whenever I do this, but I hate it whenever other people do this. It's like they pretend that they read something and they actually haven't. Yeah. And they talk about it like they know it, and it drives me up the fucking wall. Then this kid is basically doing that with all the information that his dad gives to him, and he's just this walking husk of half-baked knowledge, which is it doesn't make any sense.
So it's weird. It's like he has the potential to be somebody who is
well-read
and you know, knows a lot of stuff. He just doesn't put any of the effort into it. And he's just like, what's the easiest way for me to achieve my goal? How about I rip off the Beatles? Because no one knows what the Beatles are.
Oh, yeah. That was the other... Okay.
That's the biggest qualm I have with the movie. The big, like, it wasn't
okay, it was Pink Floyd. So there's a scene
Pink Floyd? Okay.
There's a scene in the film where Jesse Eisenberg is trying... He's, like, trying out for a talent show, and he's singing Hey You. He's learning Hey You by Pink Floyd.
Yes.
And he tried... And he's not very good.
Oh, he's terrible.
But he wins the fucking talent show with this. But it's Hey You by Pink Floyd. And this is 1986. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were alive in 1986, I would... especially if I was well-read. Because typically English professors, like, appreciate pop music, right? And they, like, look into the lyrics for things like that. How did Dad not say anything?
Yeah.
Like, plagiarizing is terrible. So basically, this kid plagiarizes Hey You and says it's his song that he wrote for the talent show. He gets money for it, and then he gets caught, and he has to give the money back. That's one of the that's one of the arc, the narrative arcs that they have to go through. But it just, it's so bizarre that a song of that magnitude just went by unscathed. According to the IMDb trivia, it's not something that happened to Noah Baumbach, but it's something that happened to one of his friends with The Who. But again, how, like, unless it was a lesser known song by The Who, but like, then it, like, all their lesser known songs are fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
But Hey You was Pink Floyd's, like, huge hit.
It was huge. The biggest, like, derp. I don't, like, it really took me out of the film because he plays it to himself, then plays it for his parents. And that's where it should have stopped right there. Like, how are none of these... How do they not know? I mean, I guess it would be like if I had a kid and he's like, hey, Dad, I wrote a song and played me some song that came out recently. I wouldn't fucking know what it... You know what I mean? Like, I'd be like, oh, that sounds good, I guess. And just in my mind, it just... You think Pink Floyd is so well-known. I don't... Just like everyone knows what
but then
Floyd
later
is,
but... on the kid his oh my god, his excuse for trying to get away with it is so, like, I want to talk about this excuse.
It's the worst thing you could ever say. Say it right now.
He basically,
this is spoilers,
says,
by the way, we're spoiling it.
Yes, he basically says, well, it's so good that I thought I could have done it, and that's just as good a reason for me doing it.
Yeah, what an awful mindset to be in.
It's like, well, because it's so great and I'm so great, I might as well have done it anyway, so it's my fucking
How
song.
How insane is that?
That is what almost the entitlement of teenagers nowadays, but it's so bizarre for that time period. I don't know, it's just so crazy. So crazy.
I definitely like that scene. That scene was crazy. That's when he was talking to the counselor.
Yeah.
Near the end of the film. But there's a big dynamic between the older brother wanting to be like the dad and then the younger brother wanting to be more like the mom. He's just like, he has a flat rejection of the dad.
I wouldn't say he wants to be more like the mom. I just would say that he just prefers mom's presence.
Dude. But he literally gets upset when looking in the mirror, and because he asks his mom, like, who do I look more like,
okay,
you're right. Dad? And he's like, you have dad's features. He's like, I don't want to look like dad. I want to look like you.
I want to look like William Baldwin. I want to have them Baldwin jeans.
Yeah, basically. He fucking loves...
my brother?
Old Baldwin. He's great in the movie, too. He's like, hey, keep it cool, daddy-o. And everyone's like,
my brother all the time.
Yeah, my brother. That's what he says.
Come on, my brother.
I love the beginning of the film when they kind of show the tension of all the characters.
In the tennis match?
Yeah, through the tennis match. They explain them very well with just a simple tennis match.
Brilliant.
It was really well done. Now might be a good time to just say I'm having work done on my house right now. So if we hear some weird noises, we're just going to power through it. Normally we don't like crazy noises, but what are you going to do? We're doing our best.
Now, here's something that I want to kind of get across, and I want to talk to you a little bit about in terms of spoiling the movie. It's a good thing that it's just generalized so we can talk about anything.
Uh-huh.
I think Baumbach does such a good job of painting each one of these family members to be so dysfunctional and so terrible that it makes you uncomfortable to watch them on screen. Mm-hmm. And I like that feeling of being uncomfortable while watching a movie, but I did not expect this from the movie. I thought it was going to be like an offshoot comedy, and it's like, it has like its dark comedy moments, but it's really just a despicable movie with just these people that suck. Mm-hmm. Even the little kid, like, even though he's developing, he's a little shitbag.
He's got a screw loose, it seems like. Did you feel like the film favored one parent over the other?
No.
Okay.
And that's what I liked about this a lot, because it seemed like again, they split up and Walt favors the dad and Frank favors the mom. Mm-hmm. But mom and dad have their own fucking problems. They're both terrible people.
Yeah.
And then as you learn through the children are taking after mom and dad in different ways and like finding, you know, it's a coming of age story and they're trying to grow up into to be these teenagers. And they just suck.
Yeah.
They are terrible people and they're growing into terrible people because of divorce. I don't know. Or just because of the way their parents behave, which is crazy.
Well, I do feel like the film, it seems like near the end, the older kid starts to realize that his dad isn't as great as he had thought.
Right.
But I don't know if the little brother realizes that about the mom. Maybe he does?
Well, okay. So what's the issue with mom? Mom, like, cheats on dad a lot.
Uh-huh.
And dad knows about it, but he's just whatever. Oh, my God. The 1980s were such a different time, too, because... Ready for a scene from the movie?
Yes.
Hi, Professor Bernard. I'm about to get kicked out of my apartment and, you know, I'm having to blow my landlord for rent.
Blow? What? Oh, well, I'm listening now.
So I may not come to class next week is my point, unless I find a place to sublease.
I may come to class. I mean, I'm going to have sex with you so you can live with me. Is that all right? How do you? You're 18, right?
No. Okay, so here's the deal. Basically, Bernard, the professor, invites this student into his house to live for a couple weeks until she gets on her feet because she needs a place to stay and he has an extra room. It's fucking red flags through the roof, my friend.
I don't think I've ever seen so many red flags. Like, I couldn't see the film anymore. There were so many red flags going up in front of me. It was just like, what is happening? What is happening? Holy shit. Holy shit.
It was
Turn
crazy.
The fucking movie off. Turn the fucking movie off.
And then that progresses into the most horrifying thing I've seen Jeff Daniels do.
He tries to get his own son to date the woman that he is also pursuing.
Yeah.
And how he says it is like, you're basically a smaller version of me. And I wished, and he tells him this multiple times, which was infuriating to me. But it hits on something a lot of people go through. He tells his son, hey, you may have a girlfriend now and your life is going pretty well, but you shouldn't settle. And you should like, you know, date around. You should date the field or whatever.
Yeah,
and find
but
more girls.
It's more than just that. He's giving him kind of sound advice, but he's also a terrible person. So basically, he's being pretentious about it. He's like, "You deserve better." That's the attitude he's coming from. Not like you should date around and find somebody. It's like you should find the best while you have.
Yeah, the attitude is we're the best. We're intellectuals. We deserve the cream of the crop when it comes to women, basically, and nothing else. And the arrogance in that is hilarious. And it pays off by him being a fucking idiot. He loses his girlfriend. And he doesn't he like elbow the other girl in the face?
In the fucking face. And then she's like, oh, I've got to take a shower now. Sorry.
That was so funny. Oh, but what's weird is that she was like gonna bone him. It seemed like she's like, come to my room. I want to show you. Oh, in front of his own girlfriend after they did the concert where he performs his music live and everyone loved it. He's with his fucking girlfriend. And the roommate girl goes, come to my room later tonight. I want to show you something. And you're like, are you serious? And then he has an argument with his girlfriend, like, why are you so obsessed with sex? Because she wants him to come over to her place. And he's like, I don't want to do that. Blah, 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 blah. And just so he can blow her off, and not in a good way, and go hang out with this girl. And when it's
okay,
already shown later
second.
That he can't hold anything, really, if you think about it.
See, now we're on two different layers. I don't know about you, but I don't think blowing somebody off is a good thing unless, you know... I don't know. Just like, I don't, why do we call it blowjobs? Why? You don't blow on it.
You don't? Wait, Dan, hold on. Let's stop the podcast.
Okay.
How does a blowjob work? Because I thought. No?
You
nothing?
Know what? You know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh man, I gotta think of
maybe this. I've been doing it wrong the entire time.
This changes everything, Dan. This really has affected me. You know, I'm glad we watched this film because it's really opened my eyes. Dan is red as a tomato right now. And I love it. He's my spicy tomato.
Just watching you do that, like giving the microphone a blowjob.
I would never.
Oh my god! You know what? No, again, you're right. I think the movie got it wrong.
Yeah, the
and every
stupid.
Other.
Anyways. What's a scene that you liked a lot from this film, Dave?
Maybe not that I liked, but I want to go back to the phone conversations between the brothers, like whenever they were at mom and dad's house, because there's this one scene where I forgot who tells who or who figures it out, but one of the brothers starts talking to the other brother about mom's sex life, as if that's a good thing to talk about between brothers.
Yeah, yikes. They do that a lot with the movie makes you very uncomfortable about everything all the time.
It just shows you how fucked up this movie is and how fucked up, like, you know, children with no guidance. Because they are children with no guidance, you can tell. Like, mom has been wanting a divorce forever and dad's just been holding on for no reason. But dad's not a good dad and he's just, it's almost like he wants children just so he has the ability to say he has children. Like, he has pride in... just
well, there's the whole child
offspring.
Support thing that gets brought up, too, where if he doesn't have joint custody, then that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of had to go through a similar thing with my parents when they got divorced.
That makes him more of a scumbag, because all he says is like, I just want you here because I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just lying through his fucking teeth. And that was
well, that's a lie, because there's a point where he completely abandons his younger kid for 3 days, apparently.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the first time in the film that he had just left his son alone at that house during his day he was supposed to be with him.
Even after he's like, I want you here. So, like, how does that fuck with the kid? Oh, my God. It's so, so insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But then again, the mom's not that much greater because mom just leaves beer out for the kids to drink.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the amount of scenes that show the little brother with his shirt off, drinking a beer, yelling at himself in the mirror. I thought I was watching Taxi Driver. You talking to me? You talking to me? I'm like, dude, this kid's going to try to fucking kill the prime minister or whatever happens in that film.
Oh, man. Okay, so one thing I did want to bring up, that it's not necessarily about the movie, but sure. It's about the movie's IMDb page.
Dan, can we not talk about your genital warts? I mean, this is just...
I mean, you did just
every chance
blow
you
the mic, but whatever. So, on IMDb, there's a trivia section, and that's where we got some of our information from.
Trivia.
And then there's a goofs section, right?
I love goofs and gaffs.
And the goof section of this is so incredibly just dense to me that, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, did you not like this film? Why do you have to point? It's almost like art house films or films that are anywhere near somebody like Paul Thomas Anderson or Wes Anderson or like Noah Baumbach, that like people who are super pretentious that are not Philistines, like, look into this. It's almost ironic because the whole point of the movie is just ignored in this IMDb page where it just talks about
the goofs. So I have a defense for this.
Okay.
If you allow me, because I think we do this. Everyone does this when you're passionate about something as well. So this could either be confused with somebody hates the film and then they went through and found all the inaccuracies and kind of list
so
them all
one
out.
Person
like, hey, look at how
did
shitty
this?
This movie is. What's that?
One person did this. So okay.
No, not one person. But then there could also be like people who love the movie. You watch something so much, you start to pick it apart, not because you hate it. Same thing with like a game that, like a video game that you really like, but you can see all the flaws. And you know them like the back of your hand. And you could regurgitate them to somebody, but you could also say, like, oh, here's all the good stuff, too.
Now, I have a retort.
Okay.
If you will allow it.
I will allow it.
All right, I'm going to read one of them to you.
Okay.
The ambulance that takes Bernard's away is painted FDNY red.
The ambulance?
The ambulance. Okay, let me try that again. The ambulance that takes Bernard away is painted FDNY red. EMS was not merged into the fire department until the 90s, and prior to that, ambulances were painted in EMS colors, orange, blue, and white.
Orange? Blue?
I'm not going to take it again.
In white.
So you get orange. You get it, though. Orange. So, like, yes. That's so incredibly nitpicky that he had to go in and it's like, well, actually, the EMS
Dan,
system
the
was not... Fuck the internet. Blow the internet.
That's what the internet... Well, if you did, maybe the internet would chill out. Maybe every once in a while, if you gave the internet a good blowjob, it would fucking relax. And I understand that. I just don't think you should be too upset by it. Because,
I'm just,
like I said,
so
it could be coming from a good place.
Okay. Some of them I can some of them I can survive through. But...
And they're things that don't ruin the film. It's all just like... the year was set in this year, but actually it was filmed later, so there's just things they didn't take out because they're just making a movie.
But why do you have to point... I don't know. Why do you have to point it... But then again, we're making a podcast that does the exact same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the goofs, though, I completely agree with, and I've made a note about it, too.
I didn't notice any goof, by
okay,
the way.
Okay, so it may not have been a goof, but like... It's one of the ones that was picked up on the goofs, but I wrote it down in my notes, and it's basically Walt's dad has a heart attack of sorts.
Yeah. Oh yeah, chasing the cat. That was a great scene.
And then he like falls on the ground, and it's clearly day outside. And then the ambulance comes, and it's night.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
God damn, that was a long time for an ambulance. But somebody caught that on the goofs page of The Squid and the Whale. And then I'm like, okay, so yeah, I did see that one.
The local ambulance will be there in 3 hours or less, or your money back.
Well, it is New York. I don't know.
Let's talk about the ending of the movie with the squid.
The titular squid.
Because the whole film, you're like, why is this movie called The Squid and the Whale? What the fuck movie? And he is describing the squid and the whale as this exhibit. A real exhibit, apparently.
Yes.
That he used to go to. He's telling a psychiatrist this about it when he was young. He was too afraid to look at it, so his mom would cover his eyes, and she would just describe it to him. And do you think that was supposed to be a whole thing of like the divorce, right? Is that like,
yeah,
is that supposed to be the analogy there? Yeah. And I thought they did a really good job with that of like, your parents are supposed to help you through this. They're supposed to help you through the squid and the whale. And these parents are not.
And right. But what does he do at the end? He runs up to the actual squid and the whale.
Yes.
And metaphorically, he's supposed to be like, okay, now I've confronted my fears. Now I have to really have deal with, you know, my metaphorical squid and the whale, mm-hmm. where, you know, my parents are like separating, essentially.
Yeah. And he's starting to see his parents for like, you know, for what's really going on. So he's like, he's a little, he understands where his mom is coming from, but still doesn't like that she had cheated on the dad. And then he's starting to understand that maybe my dad wasn't there for me a lot of the times when I was younger, and my mom was, and I should give her credit, you know?
Well, so and then
he's starting to get that more.
Another thing, and like this was kind of poignant for me. Like this whole scene with the counselor was very poignant because he hates his mom the entire film, and then he starts to remember. It's like, oh, like you just said, maybe my dad hasn't been there for me, and my mm-hmm. mom is the one who's been there for me. Like recently, I've just been remembering things from my past that are making me feel bad about, you know, not wanting to talk to my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's making me cry, like, just like, oh my God, like, I have good memories and they're coming back to me finally, which it reminded me of that. And it kind of hit a string with me and I kind of cried at the end. But,
I totally understand that because, like, you're a totally different person after a while. You know, like stuff that happened to you like 10 years ago. That might as well be a different person. Let's see how we're doing. Why don't we do some final thoughts here, Danny boy?
Okay.
I mean, I think it's obvious that I like this movie a lot. This movie is really good.
As did I.
There's not many flaws with it. It's a great character drama. Again, it's extremely personal. Sometimes the plot is a little unbelievable, but it's almost kind of like fun in a fanciful way of how like weird it gets. It makes things interesting. And I think it complements it because when things get really real and really serious, where you're like, wow, I can really like things can very easily hit home with certain topics they touch with divorce. It becomes very relatable in that respect. So I liked it a lot.
Yeah. And I know that you related to that library scene pretty hard.
Duh, that's right, baby. Woo! Gonna check that book out with my dick! Oh, yeah, did we say the little kid likes to go around and smear semen all over the walls and shit? I don't know if we
didn't say it by... We said it by proxy, but that's what we keep alluding to with semen.
That's how the kid dealt with divorce. He would jizz and wipe it on things. It was really neat.
But how he masturbates, though, is very interesting. He just rubs up against hard surfaces.
Dan, I don't want you to ever say that sentence again. You know how he masturbates? Very interesting.
Jesus Christ.
I have a series of graphs that show. Do you like pie charts?
I love pie charts. American Pac-Man pie charts.
Here represents the amount of jizz.
Who just made a film reference about fucking pies? I did.
That's right.
Woo!
Topical reference.
Okay, Jared. So here is my score for The Squid and the Whale.
Mm-hmm.
I gave the film a 7.4. What brought the film down for me was the cinematography, like I said, because it just wasn't impressive. But I did give it a little bit of a bump. So instead of a 5, I gave it a 6 in cinematography. Because it was shot on my favorite camera. And again, 7.4 is the whopping score that I gave to
nice.
This film.
All right, I'm going to tally my shit up. Oh, okay. 7.8.
So our grand total score for The Squid and the Whale by the Indie Film Review is a 7.6.
I think we did it. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/IndieFilmReview. We're also on Twitter at IndieFilmPod. That's IndieFilmPod. If you want to send us an email on the Gmail, maybe you have a movie you want us to see, or maybe you made a film or a short film and you want us to review it. We're going to start doing that soon. It's going to be fun. We're still taking submissions. We're always going to be taking submissions, honestly. It's theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. That's with the Indie Film Review.
And of course, on Instagram, we are at Indie Film Review Pod, I believe is where we are. I may make a correction soon. But yeah, if you want to hear more of us, just hashtag fillet of the podcasting world.
Yeah, baby. Danny, you have the final word.
Oh shit, I forgot about this.
Oh no. Oh no. Blowjob.
Don't call it a callback.
It's been here for years.